heard a long time ago, if you want a better preacher, start praying while he preaches. You want a better husband, start praying for him. Start serving him. Start doing the things. Something about the reciprocalness of doing the things with God that you would have him do with you. The last time that I preached, we had on in the background a worship set called Yeshua. And the Lord spoke to me a couple days ago. This worship set is called Ruach, Presence of God. So in between, Jordan preached a message. It was probably one of his best. But it was interesting because Stephen, or someone, had a synthesizer on. And the presence of God is in the room. Someone said, turn that off. And immediately, Katie and I both felt the presence of God. And that synthesizer lifted. So, years ago, some of you remember, and kind of goes back to the shofar, but the Mighty Horn Ministry of Phil Driscoll. And about 1990, he said, there's coming a day when the psalmist and the preacher will be preaching and prophesying in music and in worship together. I believe the resurgence of the shofar, the act of blowing out the presence of God through someone who is full of the Spirit, there's something about the sound of heaven. We know that the enemy, through the line of Cain, invented many of the instruments, but they were redeemed and used. But one instrument that they didn't produce or invent, or however it came about, was the wind instruments. They were reserved for God. Something about the sound of the Lord. Of the Lord. Father, we just give you this time. And it may be different that we have music in the background while someone's speaking. Father, we just pray that this would happen more and more. There is sound in your spirit. There is sound in your heart. Change the sound of this world and all the troubles and the worries in your mind, the battleground. Begin to be washed by the water of the Word of God. Jesus said, or John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. that lights every man that comes into the world. And one, that means man and woman. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Scriptures that you've read over and over and over, and you've heard all of your life, are going to have new meaning. They're going to give you life. Something you've read 200-300 times, all of a sudden you're going to see something new. The dunamis and the ruach, the sound of heaven, is going to come in and explain to you things that you have no idea about, that you've read over and over. Titles just give us an idea of what is going to be spoken. Today's title is Facing Your Giants. Say this with me, Michael Rogers. I'm a giant slayer. Liz, you're a giant slayer. Stephen and Becca, you've given him your yes. You're giant slayers. We're not waiting for somebody else to do it. We're not waiting for a man to show up. We might be waiting for a bunch of women to show up. I'm telling you. The world came out with Wonder Woman, one of the highest grossing films ever. But the world's looking for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. The world is looking for women of wonder, not Wonder Woman. Not ISIS, not some foreign god. The world is groaning for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. I was listening to Chris Bellaton a couple weeks ago. Thank you. He was talking about the fivefold ministry. The church has been one-dimensional. The pastor is king. There's one thing that we don't do at New Covenant. We don't look at Don and Bob and myself and Jordan and even Michael Rogers as our pastor. Jesus is our pastor. He's the King of Kings. It doesn't matter who's the president. And in the fall, I was at the Double Portion Conference. And we were there. And they showed a short video of how 300 kings and prime ministers and presidents and tribal leaders, chiefs, came together. And they had prepared pastors through their Bible school to go back. That were natives of each country. There were 300. And they laid hands, that every one of the leaders got saved. They laid hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they sent them back to their country for the pastor. 300. Remember any other 300s in the Bible? And I saw what I saw in 1980 in my room as a kid. Being a reality in one area. Katie, you want to come and read? I'm going to have my beautiful wife. We're in a time of suddenlies. Before she reads, I did want to share something. And I tread lightly because I'm not allowed to talk about my wife. And I won't talk about her. I'll talk about us. (laughs) But we came together what seemed like a suddenly. She had been waiting nearly 5 years. I'd been waiting nearly 5 years. And yesterday was one more day of something happening in our family that was God. Another closure. Our golden doodle of 18 years passed away. And so Katie and I were like praying together. She said, do you want me to go with you? Do you want this to be a private thing? And it ended up being Jeremy woke up at 6 a.m. And we knew that Aslan was on. His name's Aslan, by the way. Our property in Louisiana, my aunt named Narnia. Somehow, I think, somewhere between heaven and that land, Aslan's running free again. But we knew. And so there were several scenarios of how the end of life would come. And Lorraine, in tears, said, no, Daddy Butch, we can't put him down. So 6 a.m. yesterday morning, Jeremy woke up. He heard a still, small voice. Aslan's gone. So I went to the house, and Jeremy and I dug a hole. We hit clay. We hit rock. And I'd found a pickaxe on the side of the road about 3 or 4 years ago and just picked it up. Said, Jeremy, go get the pickaxe. God supplied that 3 or 4 years ago. And we needed it. And we wrapped him in the blanket that he always laid on. And we were able to have a natural death that really was a natural life. Because now little Sonny the Bichon and Aslan are with Diana right now in heaven. Now, Aslan was the worst dog ever. He was worse than Marley and me, if you ever saw the movie. He got kicked out of obedience school until the day, right after Diana had surgery in her lung. They took her lung. We could not get him to obey for anything. And all of a sudden, the dog that was unruly sat at the heel position next to Diana. And when she got up and she walked around the house, Aslan walked at the heel position. And for 13 more years, for her, for the next 8 years, he did that. And he was her support dog. The week that she was diagnosed with cancer, we were given a Bichon. She wanted a Bichon. So he looked like Mini-Me and, you know, white fluff. But there have been so many closures of the last 5 years. So when I was walking in the back here with Brian Francis Hume on my shoulder, Katie saw me. And the Lord says, he's your husband. But I didn't see her because I had Brian on that side. 3 days later, we were standing here, and the Lord led me to share that my grief was over on the last anniversary of her death. And I had a wonderful day. I said, Lord, what's from the other four? And he said, your grief is over. And I shared that. 5 minutes later, I met Katie right in the corner here. And 3 weeks later, we got married. And there's so much to that. And most of you know most of the story. But we've had so many closures of the last season. And the Lord spoke to me very early on that Katie and I were going to be like Aquila and Priscilla in the Bible, that I would not make a decision without her, and that she would not make a decision without me. Now, getting married without knowing each other and have totally different personalities, It was all smooth sailing. We didn't have a single disagreement. No, not true. But we got a couples coach, and last night we were sitting there, and the husband just looked at us, and he said, "You're not the same couple that was here 3 weeks ago." And the Holy Spirit was just in the room last night. It's the last of, we have one more session with them. And I thought we were going to breeze right through it. You know, marriage has always been easy. But then when you get two personalities that are exactly the opposite, but they're exactly what, and we found so many things that were alike. Like we both like York peppermint patties. But she couldn't find a case of them. I did. And I went a little bit higher in her book, not because of the York peppermint patties, but because of the husband's heart. But Katie had never had breakfast in bed. I made her breakfast in bed one morning. And we do a lot of this constantly. And even this morning, you know, I just looked at her and I said, how can we be more in love today than we were yesterday? It's every single day. But here's what the Lord spoke to me. You and Katie are going to be an example of Jesus and his church. The suddenly. Because suddenly, there was a sound that came from heaven. Of the rush of the Ruach, a mighty wind. And it filled the place where they were sitting. Tongues of fire came on. It was the sound of heaven. We have this type of music in our house 24/7. The first day that I came into the house, I sat down and I'm like, got a perfectly good house in another city. We have one here. And the Lord reminded me when I went to the Double Portion Conference. I'm not into name it, claim it. But he had me. He said, I want you to give a seed faith. And I did. I gave a very large offering for me, not for some people. Some people would be very small. But it was a sacrifice. It was along the first week I realized that what I was sowing into was moving into a house. And you wonder when you're a widower or a widow, if somebody is marrying you for your stuff. Well, her stuff was way better than mine. Her house was twice the size of mine. But she bought this house, 5 foot, I say 5 foot tall, 100 pounds, soaking wet. 5,000 square feet to be a place of worship. She even bought folding chairs so we can have house church if we ever need to there. And we could fit almost as many people in there as we can in this room. But we're not rushing to anything. And she bought this house in 2019. She was already listening to the voice of the Lord as I was before this suddenly happens. They started out with 500. They ended up with 120 in the upper room. You are the guys that stayed. You are the guys that are waiting for the Ruach. They wait here in the city of Jerusalem till you receive power from on high to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Not so that you can have soaking services and throw balls of fire across the room to each other, so you can be my witnesses. And what do? You lay hands on the sick and they recover. The blinded eyes are open. The deaf ears are open. Demons are cast out because we're full of the Holy Spirit. We fasted and we prayed and we sought his face. So the thing that changed for me and Katie is one day I told Katie, I said, besides Jesus, it's all about you. I said, you've never had love like this. The scripture is very clear. Some think that Paul was trying to talk people out of getting married. He wasn't. He said in marriage, a husband's affection is toward his wife. It is a symbol of Christ and his church. You have problems in your marriage? You have problems, period. Let Jesus be the center of that. You try to outgive each other. Outlove each other. Christ loves his church. He laid his life down. No man took it. In fact, they came with swords and clubs and all kinds of stuff. Who are you looking for? Betrayed with a kiss, he said, I am he. They fell to the ground. I'm going to ask God when we get there, how did they get back up and still crucify you? Especially after putting the ear back on, you know, that's. But Katie, you can, why don't you share that scripture? Oh, and she dressed me today.
We literally have been listening to this song in every room of our house for the last 3 days. The Lord just revealed it to us 3 days ago, and it was honestly, this keeps happening where the Lord will give a new song, reveal a new song, like within days of something big happening. So the last time we got the lift and shift was right just before our wedding in our living room. And it's no kidding that this was to help our friend Aslan in his promotion to heaven, that we will see him again. That this song has just been, we've been wrecked in our house. So we walked in and to hear it in this room, it's just like wrecked. Like that's totally just sobbing, just totally just, you just stop, you're doing dishes and you just feel the Holy Spirit and you just stop doing dishes. You're trimming the potted plant and you just stop and just worship the Lord. And it's just overcome by his presence that there's nothing more important. And you just say, come Lord, come. Giving him all affection. Total attention, undivided, unwavering, not in a hurry. There is nothing else but you and him. That. And the tears come, or the laughter comes, or you're out on the floor for a little bit, no problem. It's your house. What? Your apartment. Doesn't matter. It could be your car, but not while driving, though, please. But to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit 24/7, to have that antenna up. When it says pray without ceasing, it's effortless, because all we have to do is just keep listening. It's not that we're chatting all the time. It's that we're listening. It's that perpetual yield. Like we've learned about with the bread and the oil and the salt last week. It's the perpetual obedience to just say yes. It's in Walmart on aisle 6. He says, go to that one with the cane. Ask them if they want prayer. No, I got to go. I've got to go. No, really? Go to the one. It's that. That's what revival looks like. This is where it comes from. Might not be in a place like this. Might be in Subway. God says, hey, why don't you pay for the dude behind you? The one that didn't shower. Yeah, I can smell him from here. Yeah, pay for his food. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'd buy him an extra cookie while you're at. Yes, Lord. It's that. This. So find your song, whatever that is. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you find your song. The can opener, I call it. It opens up the can of the spirit, the can of the heart, the hard places. And it goes, yes. Let you love on me. I can't love my neighbor as I love myself if I'm not loving myself. So help me to love my neighbor. Help me to see myself the way you see me so that I can love my neighbor that I haven't met yet because I'm going to pay for his food. Yeah, God. So we listen to this kind of stuff 24/7 in the house so that we stay supple. So when we have a hard moment, it's not that long. And we keep the 24-hour rule. And we check in with each other. But we keep this kind of atmosphere all the time on purpose for that reason. All the time. All right, y'all. Ready to get some scripture here. So Joshua 14, 6 through 15 is about Caleb. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of, not even going to try, the J-man and the K-man, said to him, another type of ite, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how Anakim was there, were there, with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Two more verses. Then the Lord blessed him. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb and the son of Jephunneh for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb and the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. By the way, if I'm moving around, it's because I'm a dancer. When the Lord comes on me, I either weep or cry or laugh, or I just move. So just don't be distracted by that visually. That's just how I am. So thank you for letting me be free up here.
I'll have Katie come back in a few minutes. Now the name was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Hebron. Some say that Anak the giant is the proper name. Targum, Jonathan, and the Septuagint. And that he, Anak, may have been the father of the three mentioned in the book of Numbers as living in Hebron, previously known as Kiriath Arba. Alternatively, the name may refer to four couples that were buried in the cave, the patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah, and Rebekah, I believe, was there also. And according to Zohar, which is not canonical, Adam and Eve. Kiriath Arba was Hebron after Caleb drove out the Anakim. So here we have a scenario where at 40 years old, you're still a strong man. You're not in your prime. Prime's probably about 28 to 30. But if you're a boxer, you think you can keep going. If you're a fighter, you think you can keep going. But like Abraham and Sarah, when they had theophany meet up with them, and Abraham got the promise. The promise is to you and all those who are far off. And Sarah in her tent laughed. She denied it. Of course, Isaac became, his name means laughter. So he waits 10 more years. She's 90 years old. And here we have the same thing with Caleb. When he was still a young man, still able to have the fight, God waits 45 years because the other 10, besides Joshua and Caleb, took the heart of the people. They were hirelings. That's what hirelings do. They take the heart of the people. They tell you the pastor is king. And forget the other part of the fivefold, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor and teacher. Forget the other parts that are there to equip the saints for what? What purpose? Do the works, the ministry. You think a pastor's supposed to do everything? You think an evangelist or a missionary or what we would call an apostle is someone who builds on not another man's place, and they're catch and release. They build, they move on. They build, and they move on. And they come back and visit. But they leave pastors and evangelists and others. And there's a move right now among the remnant to see the fivefold brought up again. But here we have Caleb, 85 years old, 45 years later. He says, I'm just as strong as I was when we started. And I can take the giant now, just like I said I could 45 years ago. You all know he didn't take the giant by himself. He put the heart back in the people through the power and the Ruach of God. He was filled with the Spirit. And of course, Joshua, son of Nun, and that's N-U-N, not N-O-N-E. Son of Nun, they were lockstep together. This was a promise for all those who are far off, that we are promised this, the seed of Abraham, the people who are not a people, red, yellow, black, and white. We are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at your neighbor. You say you are whosoever. Look at your neighbor and say that. You are whosoever. But God says you will never die. You will have everlasting life. Not live a couple more years. If that doesn't make yourself nothing worth it. I think Caleb was a prophet. He's saying the land is good. Here's its fruit. And the fruit was big. The only thing that stands in the way of God's promise is these three measly giants. Our God is bigger. And I'm added this in. Heck, we already have a promise. We have the people buried there. And greater is our God that is in us than the little giants that are in the land. Today, some of y'all see obstacles. But all, some of us see giants that you got to get through to reach your promise. Every one of you has a call. Say this, greater is he that is in me. And you finish it without me even saying it. He that is in the world. Say this, God is my giant slayer. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the armies of the Lord? He was just a shepherd boy. They said he was ruddy. I don't even know. I've looked it up. I don't know exactly what that means, but I think he was good looking and little. He'd slayed the lion and the bear on the backside of the desert, tending the sheep. Now, what a pastor does to do? He fights for the sheep. When there's 99 and one's lost, how do you think they call them 1%ers, Liz, in the biker world? We leave the 99 and go after the one. You get the one, the 99 come into line. That's what biker ministry is all about. That's what car shows, vintage cars and hot rods and Northern Virginia Hot Rod Club. That's what it's all about. Not about the cars. We get to have fun while we lead people to Jesus. We get to set up a tent and preach the gospel and go there in style. Elijah said, Father, open my servant's eyes that he might see the armies of the Lord all around about. It's not me. It's not Caleb. It's not Elijah. It's the armies of the Lord that fight the battle. And we just walk in and take the spoils because we lead with the shofar. Dancing before the Lord. We blow breath of God that goes before us, and they hear a sound of heaven. What did they hear? Gideon's army. Come on. What happened? The hearts were taken from them. They had no fight left in them. And all they had was 300 men and some pots. And they ran like, sorry, ladies, but like little girls. And they left all their stuff on the road. God can give you a heart. Only the enemy can take your heart. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again to Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Katie, you want to come read the rest of that?
So a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, so he was alone. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to her, "Sir, give me the water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. But when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he."
The many "I am" statements that Jesus made. Was she a theologian? No, she was a Samaritan woman who had gone out probably by herself to draw water from a well. And he said, "Give me something to drink." And she acknowledged, "You're not supposed to be talking to me. I had sent his disciples away because he was going to do this and they were going to probably be offended." Sometimes you got to get the offense out the door so you can do whatever. You know, if you're dealing with demonic spirits, you got to do it. If you're dealing with healing, sometimes you got to do it. You got to get the unbelief out of the room. And she said, "The well's deep. You don't have anything to draw with." But he said, "The water that I have, if you knew who it was that was asking, and the water that I have, you drink this water, you will never thirst again." In those days, water was life. It was their oasis. But this was a place where Abraham dug a well by the oak of Mamre that until 1995 was alive. It died. And in 1996, a shoot came up, a new shoot. In 2019, the oak of Mamre fell and the shoot was left. And I believe it was a prophetic word for the remnant, that God has a new shoot that has come up. And the old timer Pentecostals used to talk about the latter rain and the former rain. The former rain was the day of Pentecost. But he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And this is the water he's talking about. The water from the well that not just right next to that was where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried with their wives. And maybe even Adam and Eve, they believed that that was actually maybe the entrance to Eden. Regardless, here they are. And Jesus was great at using object lessons. Here they are at Jacob's well. It might be the well that after he went from well to well to well and they had dispute, he finally dug his own well. It's time for you to dig your own well. There's no dispute. And walk into the destiny that God has given you. And the water that he gives, you will never thirst again. And you will give that out and give it out and give it out and give it out. And like the widow who was giving out of her oil, she went and borrowed jars. That water is an inexhaustible supply. The more you give it out, the more you get. We're not talking about money here. We're talking about the presence of the Lord. And then he tells her, she said, you know, where's your husband? You know, basically is what he says. He said, I'm not married. And he gives her a word. And she said, I perceive you are a prophet. And when Messiah comes, and she says, I am he. I'm the one you're talking about. And she goes and says, he's told me everything I ever did. No, he just told her that she had been in relationships 5 times. And why did he come to someone so broken? Why didn't he come to a priest? Why didn't he come to a prophet? Why didn't he come to a king? Because we're in the time when God takes broken people and does whatever he wants. Because when that happens, we know it's God. It's not man. When God restores all things, when those who were disallowed are now grafted in, we have every nation, tongue, and tribe, like on the day of Pentecost. There's an outpouring of the Spirit that's happening and a raising up of the fivefold that's happening. And a move of God that's happening, that if we miss what he's doing, it'll just like be like our own little well. It's deep, and we keep drinking water and keep drinking. And we give out a cool cup of water. But this one that's inexhaustible, we walk outside the door. And we say to the person who's been lame or blind or whatever it is from birth, gold and silver have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk. Blinded eyes be open. Deaf ears hear. We have to make a shift from what we can do to what God can do. The only way we can do that is through his presence. So how did Caleb have the same strength as he did 45 years before. Because of the water that the Lord gives. Just like the first part of everything, they went all those years. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had manna until they screamed about manna and got quail. Says there was not a feeble one among them. But that generation died out except for Joshua and Caleb. And they walked into the promised land with the children of the promise. And they believed. But their parents didn't. They had the slave mentality of Egypt. It wasn't that they were in Egypt any longer. Egypt was still in them. They kept wanting the leeks and garlic and all the stuff back then. They forgot about not having hay to make their bricks. And they walked through the wilderness. They never got the promise. The promise is to you and to all who are far off. But we have to be filled with the water that he gives. Mount Moriah is the place where Abraham was offering Isaac and where Solomon built the temple in a place that remains sacred to both Jews and Samaritan. The woman at the well referred to both the mountain and the well. Hebron, the place of Mamre, and Abraham planted the oak, and he encountered the theophany where the cave of Machpelah was, where all three patriarchs were buried with their wives. Where Jesus met the woman at the well, their father near Machpelah, were both Ishmael and Isaac buried Abraham. Ishmael and Isaac came back together to bury Abraham. Very interesting part of the scripture. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water, but the Lamb of God, I told you clearly, I am not the Messiah, but the one who comes after me, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." So on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost fully came, there was a sound from heaven of the rush of mighty wind. The Ruach of God, the very presence, filled the room where they were sitting, and God met Abraham as a theophany at the well. These are the same things. And the Samaritan woman reiterated all the reasons Jesus couldn't draw the water from the well or have draw from Jacob's well. Jesus let her know that he was and that he gives. And he doesn't care. His water trumps all other water. And that's not a play on word. It does. It trumps all over the water. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, make us as Caleb. Make us as that Samaritan woman that was getting a drink from the same place that Caleb overtook the giants. That we're in that place that there are giants all around being told our money's going to fail. We're going to get a digital currency. You're going to be food deprived. There are going to be all these things that happen. The economy's up and down. But you've always had a remnant. In Egypt, it was the land of Goshen. And all through scripture, it was the remnant. The remnant. The remnant. And Jesus constantly went to the remnant. And it was usually those who were disallowed by the religious leaders. But yet a people that were not a people became a people on the day of Pentecost. And it fully came. And it's funny, it was the sixth hour of the day when he went to the well, and it was the ninth hour of the day when the day of Pentecost came. So, Father, teach us your time clock. We have a sense we're at the 12th hour of the day. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your bride, your church. You're telling us we can't be half full. We can't borrow from our neighbor. That you're looking for those whose lamps are trimmed, full of oil, and waiting for the bridegroom to come. And he is the one that makes his bride without spot or wrinkle. We look pretty wrinkly and we look pretty spotty. But when the blood is applied, we see in Revelation, they overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And only he is worthy. He rides on a white horse. Becca was sharing a scripture on Friday night at the watch that God had given me and Katie not too long ago. And it's a scripture where Jesus is on a white horse and there's a whole army behind him on white horses. He's not coming to be crucified again. He's coming back round King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to take over, not take part. Follow your King. He said, I am. Just as the theophany met with Abraham, Jesus met with the Samaritan woman at the same well, in the same place that Caleb took over. Thank you, Lord, that it's time for us to take the land. My sense was that Caleb was just as strong or stronger than the giants because he was full of the Holy Spirit, but he also ate of that fruit. It's like, well, if you don't want it, I'll eat some of it and I'll be a giant. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. We have marching orders from you. You know what each of our calling is, whether it's in business, whether it is to leave our nets and follow you. You have a specific for each of us. And you're calling us as one person to lock shields and to move and do the push to pray until something happens. And with the shields locked as armies, they could push back an army of literally millions with only 300. So, Father, teach us to be one as you and the Father are one. And we give it all to you. In Jesus' name.